Welcome to Today's Issues. Join us for the next hour as we offer a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Ed Vitagliano.
And welcome, everyone, to Today's Issues. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today. I am joined in studio by Fred Jackson. Good morning, Fred.
Good morning, Ed.
And Chris Woodward is joining us. He's the news guy today.
Good morning.
Good morning. Steve Jordahl will be in roughly 1 hour for the final leg of Today's Issues. Gentlemen, it is April 15th. It is tax day.
Yes.
And I mean, in terms of favorite days of the year, I'm guessing this one is pretty low on the list.
Yeah, for a lot of folks. I think most folks try to avoid waiting to the very last day. Although I did talk to someone this morning who waited until this past weekend, and they went to the post office, or planning to go to the post office to write their check and send it in. But they, because they thought they were going to owe.
Oh, I see.
So they waited to the very, very last minute. My tax preparer has said that in the past when I've owed a little bit. They've said, why are you doing it so early? Why don't you wait until the very last few hours?
Yeah.
And then put it in. I just don't want to take that chance.
Yeah. Anything we do with the IRS, we always have, we send registered mail. Because, I've only had one personal interaction with the IRS. I'm talking about face-to-face. I was audited, I don't know, but probably about 10 years ago now. And the lady that who was a field agent for the IRS was very nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I had all my ducks in a row. That the federal government wound up owing me mm-hmm. some money.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, $50 or so. And I asked her, I said, you want to audit the next year too? She said, no. I guess she knew I was keeping good records, but she was very nice.
Yes.
And so I did not have a bad experience. Some people have these horror stories with the IRS, and,
yes.
and they are horror stories. But it's our tax code is huge. It is complicated. The government, I don't think most people trust the government to spend the money that it gets.
Oh, no.
Although I think most people don't mind pitching in, you know, fix roads and mm-hmm. have the military and all those kinds of things. So it's kind of a love-hate relationship with taxes. I'm just happy, Chris, that when I finally die, there's no taxes in heaven.
Hey,
I'm going to a tax-free zone.
Yeah, I'm trying to quiet the libertarian in me in terms of tax day and my true feelings about such an infamous day in our calendar.
Infamous. And I know there are people listening saying, was it the 13th Amendment?
Mm-hmm.
It's illegal. The government shouldn't and all that. Okay,
did folks, you know my wife's grandfather?
I'm just saying I don't want to get into those kinds of arguments right now, but it is tax day. Whether you like it or not, April 15th rolls around every year. And as they say, death and taxes are
render under
sure
to Caesar's.
Yeah.
You're talking about the IRS. There's a very funny Reba episode.
Oh, from the Her Show, Reba McEntire?
Yes.
Show?
Yeah. Where her ex-husband tells her, hey, when we were married, I may have messed up on my taxes.
Yeah.
So it shows them going to meet with IRS, but they put them in separate rooms.
Oh.
The husband in one room,
yeah.
Reba
yeah.
in another room, and then the IRS agent with Reba picks up the phone, and then you just see this fading away. And, of course, it's all about we're just seeing if you're someone shading the truth here.
Yeah, kind of like a good episode of Law and Order.
Yes,
you keep the two people separated and
yes.
compare their stories.
Yes,
dun dun.
Yeah, I think for the most part, most people have a fairly simple. It gets complicated when you start claiming deductions.
Yeah,
for if you have a room in your house for an office.
Right.
and the telephone bills and the electric bills.
Yeah.
You try to claim some of those. And I've never been in that situation. Mine is so simple. Our tax preparer does ours in about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
It's really straightforward.
Yeah. Well, let me just tell you, when I was pastoring a church.
Ah, yes.
It got complicated.
Right.
Very, very complicated. And
yeah.
Listen, I think the tax code should be simplified. I would be fine with a flat tax. As yeah. far as I know, I'm not a money person or a financial person, I should say. I don't mind spending money. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying the complexity of it is makes it – well, way back in the 80s, I think it was in the 80s, I had a question about how long I should keep my tax records.
Oh, yeah.
I kept very, because I was in the ministry and
sure.
sometimes worked other jobs. In the case of AFA, I worked a full-time job and pastored part-time. Sometimes it was reversed. And so one time I called the IRS. This is back when this is how you did it. Got on the phone with Washington, D.C. IRS agent came on and I said, how long should I keep my tax records? I said, I don't own a business. I'm just, I explained what I did for a living. I said, I read some people say 3 years, some people say 10 years if you own a business. How long should I keep my records? This is no joke. The IRS agent asked me, Mr. Vitagliano, I don't remember if he pronounced it right, how long do you think you should keep your records? No lie. I said, well, what are you talking about? I'm calling you. You tell me. And he kept repeating, how long do you think you should keep your records? And I said, I have no idea. So that was the answer I got, because I think it was so complex, he didn't know how long it should keep it. So anyway, I've got records for like 25 years. I'm afraid to get rid of them.
Just in case.
Yeah, just in case. All right, that's enough tax talk. I'm already disgusted. All right. Chris.
Yes. Well, we have a ton of things to go over involving Iran's attack on Israel over the weekend, in case you weren't anywhere that gives you news. Iran sent hundreds of drones and missiles to Israel, and this was in response to Israel a few weeks back destroying some Iranian territory in Syria. And so we have a lot to go over here. I've got a ton of audio.
By the way, was it actually an embassy?
It was Iranian soil in Syria. It was government property in Syria that belonged to Iran. There were some news reports that it was an embassy or a consulate
yeah.
office. I'm not sure what the exact definitional difference is,
okay.
if there is one. But nonetheless, Israel attacked Iranian property in Syria, and that was viewed as an act of war by Iran, and they retaliated in a glorious display of drones and missiles that were all shot down, praise God, by the U.S., U.K., even Jordan got involved here, which was interesting because you had like in a Arab versus Persian Muslim versus Muslim situation there between Jordan and Iran there. So in a story that Fred has posted today on AFN.net, world leaders are now urging Israel not to retaliate for that Iranian drone and missile attack. And that's just one starting point here. I've got some audio from John Kirby. He's the retired rear admiral that now speaks on behalf of the Biden administration when it comes to issues involving foreign policy, national security, what have you. And he went on various talk shows over the weekend to talk about this situation between Israel and Iran. Let's begin with this one. It's going to be clip 4, and Kirby tells Israel, he told NBC that Israel ought to take the wind and not do anything here. Clip 4.
So did he warn Israel not to respond? Did he say take the win, as has been reported?
I think the president was, again, very clear with Prime Minister Netanyahu about the success that they enjoyed last night and the impact that that success ought to have.
All right. So, Fred, this gets kind of complicated, I guess. I don't know. Some people may see it as very simple, but yes, Israel was very successful, but it is at the same time an act of war. We're going to be hearing during Steve's segment a Iranian woman who explains a little bit more clearly than you're going to get from the news media about the truth mm-hmm. of what Iran has been doing over decades and decades, using proxies to basically pay for or promote acts of war against Israel. So the Iranians claimed that Israel's actions in Syria were an act of war, when everybody knows mm-hmm. that Iran is using proxies, including Hezbollah in Lebanon, to attack Israel.
Yes.
That's not an act of war. And at the same time, it appears that what Iran was doing after launching these drones and these missiles were giving Israel an off-ramp by saying, if Israel does nothing, we'll declare the matter concluded.
Yeah.
So to me, this is a time when the U.S. ought to let Israel make its own decision and not publicly, either directly or leak conversations with Benjamin Netanyahu. Let Israel decide, because this is fairly complex. Israel ought to be deciding this on their own.
Yeah, here's my personal take on this. This war started on October the 7th when Hamas attacked innocent civilians in southern Israel and massacred 1,200 Israeli men, women, and children. That is when this war started, because Hamas is an arm, the Hamas terrorists in Gaza, they are an arm of Iran.
Right.
Likewise, Hezbollah in Lebanon is an arm of Iran. The reason that Israel took out those Iranian generals in Damascus back a few weeks ago, because those generals were facilitating the transfer of weapons from Iran to these terrorist groups.
Right.
All right? So they weren't innocent generals sitting around having coffee.
Right.
All right? They were in the business of creating more problems for Israel. That is why Israel attacked them there. I think, you know, the matter... it's a consulate or somebody's house, that doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. So here's my take on this. Because Israel has now, because of their response to Hamas in Gaza, the world has turned against Israel.
Right.
Including the Biden administration. So Iran saw an opportunity. What they did on Saturday night was unprecedented as with regards to Israel. And what they did Saturday night, I think, was driven by the fact that they feel they could get away with this because the world has turned against Israel, the
right.
mainstream media. They are painting Israel as the bad guy now in Gaza. So Iran is sitting there and they say, okay, we've kind of got the world turned against Israel. So let's do this now. We'll use this thing that happened in Damascus as an excuse, but we've been wanting to do this for a very right. long time. All right. I was happy to see that the United States, France, and Britain helped Israel out. And as Chris mentioned, even Jordan, when those missiles came into Jordanian airspace, they shot those down. Now, the idea now that here we are on Monday morning, and we have the Biden administration saying, well, Israel should just take the win. No, Israel was attacked by right. Iran. They must respond, because if they don't, this is going to happen again, mm-hmm. and perhaps on a greater magnitude.
Yeah. Listen, that is the justification for us spending 20 years in Afghanistan.
Yes.
I mean, we had some pretty quick victories over the Taliban mm-hmm. after 9/11,
mm-hmm.
all right? So I didn't hear anyone telling the U.S. we'll just take the win,
mm-hmm.
or at least nobody within
yes.
the Bush administration saying, well, let's just take the win and call it quits. No, we went and spent 20 years mm-hmm. in Afghanistan
yes.
because what we were trying to do, people can argue about whether or not it was accomplished, but what we were trying to do is to prevent it from happening again,
mm-hmm.
and that's what Israel did by attacking that consulate / embassy.
By the way, with regards to everybody asking, what is Israel going to do? Are they going to respond? There was a report just before I came into the studio, one of Fox's Mideast reporters, basically saying apparently that our Secretary of Defense, Austin, has had a conversation this morning with his Israeli counterpart. And the Israeli counterpart basically told Lloyd Austin Israel does not have a choice. Mm-hmm. We must respond. I think it's just a question of when. Now.
If they don't, and the Lord tarries, Brent and I are going to be talking about this 10 years from now on this show, because it'll just be the, you know, umpteenth issue where somebody does something.
Yeah, at this point, there'd be no cost to Iran for doing this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, so one of the knocks, frequent knocks against Joe Biden is that nobody cares about him. They're not scared of him. Trump himself has said things like, this would not have happened if I was president, and he said as much over the weekend.
Well, and it didn't, and just to be clear, it didn't during 4 years of Trump.
That's very true. A lot of things that have happened since Trump left office didn't happen when Trump was in office. So this was another example here. And to give people a feel of the fact that nobody listens to Biden or anybody working for him, I've got a montage here of the president and various people that work for the president, the Biden administration, saying things in recent days, telling Iran, don't do this. And obviously, they didn't listen. Let's play that montage now, clip 8.
Surprise pitch to Iran in this moment.
Don't. I have one word. Don't.
To any actor, state or non-state, trying to take advantage of this crisis to attack Israel. Don't.
We have just one word. Don't.
Now, again, all of that was ahead of the events over the weekend. So it's safe to say that Iran don't listen to Joe Biden and the people that work for him. I meant to say it that way.
Iran did.
Yeah.
Biden and his administration said don't, and Iran did.
Yeah. Yes.
And so, Fred, the question is, why? Why did Iran do it after the U.S. pretty forcefully, publicly said don't?
Yes.
Okay. So why did Iran ignore the Biden administration?
Well, the world dynamics are very interested in this. Iran's allies, people need to realize, and many, I think, do, Iran's allies right now are China and Russia.
Right.
You have to understand, the equipment that Iran used, some of it at least, on Saturday night came from China. Mm-hmm. And in return, Iran is giving China oil.
Yep.
Yeah, understand what's going on here. The dynamics going on in world politics right now has Iran, China, and Russia working together.
And Iran, if I just insert this and then continue, but Iran was sending weapons also to Russia.
Yes.
For the war in Ukraine.
Yes.
So that's so that's triumvirate.
How all of that is working right now. So Iran is not afraid of Joe Biden. They're not afraid of Joe Biden and the United States. They believe now is an opportune time. Iran now believes it's an opportune time to do what they wanted to do for Israel for years, is basically wipe that nation off the face of the earth.
Yeah.
All right. And I know Chris is going to get into this. What's scary right now, there are people in the United States who want Israel wiped off the face of the earth and have now extended their feelings to death to America. We're going to talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, we've got a couple of things here. This is a clip that Steve isolated for us in which, let's begin with this one. It is audio of a man in the United States of America teaching people to say things such as death to Israel and death to America. Clip 7.
So I'm going to teach you a chant in Persian that you can use if you ever encounter those Zionist freaks, whether they be Iranian or whatever, all right? Now, I don't drink margaritas, but we all know what a margarita is. We all know what a bar is. So you're going to say, Marg Bar.
Marg Bar.
Marg Bar Israel.
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 Thank you.
What does that mean?
Oh, so it has two meanings, depending on the gender. It can mean death to or down with. So
can we get a Marg Bar Amrita?
We can get a Marg Bar Amrita. Yes, we can. Marg Bar Amrita.
Marg Bar Amrita.
Marg Bar Amrita.
I have shared the link of
that last one. That's
America.
Also death to America.
Yes. Yes. And that was in Chicago, the Midwest.
Okay. So, Fred, what we have here are members of the Democratic Party.
Yes.
And I don't think this is a small portion. I don't think this is just the fanatical fringe. I think this is the fact that this whatever portion of the Democratic Party is so antagonistic towards Israel, the reason the Biden administration appears to be stepping away from its full-throated support of Israel in the wake of the attack on October 7th is because the pressure from the pro-Palestinian, pro-Hamas side of the Democratic Party is growing, and they are vocal.
Yeah.
And the Biden administration is feeling the pressure of that.
Yes. We had a similar incident in Dearborn, Michigan, last week, where we had groups, and this is the Rashida Tlaib crowd.
Right.
Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib, Democrat, from Dearborn, Michigan. And there was a rally where it was death to Israel, death to America. And in Chicago as well, on Saturday night, when this attack was first learned, there was a meeting of political activists. I want you to hear as a guy who was up speaking at the podium announced that the attack against Israel had begun.
16.
I just have to report something to everyone. And so it begins, so to speak. 12 days ago, Israel brazenly hit an Iranian embassy compound in Syria, violating international law again. And Iran has just responded about 30 minutes ago. They've sent, and this is from the Iranian Revolutionary Guard directly, they've sent drones and missiles against specific targets in occupied Palestine, Israeli targets in occupied Palestine. In addition, there are reports of drones having been fired on Israel from Yemen and Iraq as well.
That kind of thing is just stunning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this, listen, folks, I understand. I know I have heard from some of our listeners, there are Palestinian Christians in Israel and in other parts of what this individual was calling occupied Palestine. Okay. There are Palestinian Christians throughout the Middle East. Okay. Mm-hmm. I understand that. Okay. I am not saying about what I'm about to say, that Palestinians per se are like Nazis, all right? I'm not saying that. Hamas is like the Nazis. Hezbollah like the Nazis. ISIS like the Nazis, all right? But this would be like hearing people in the United States during World War II cheering the Nazis bombing London.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Exactly. Iran. Iran is run by... It's fair to call a religious slash fascist mullah centralized government. Okay. This isn't even about the Iranian people. I don't think the majority of the Iranian people, especially the younger ones, they're not Nazis either. But the ones running these kinds of terrorist states like Iran, this hearing Democrats cheer.
Yes.
What has happened in this attack on Israel, besides the lie about what Israel did, calling it breaking international law. This is stunning, and it's in the Democratic Party.
And Biden has yet to condemn what happened in Dearborn, Michigan.
Right.
Death to America, Democrats claiming that last week. I haven't heard a word yet on Biden condemning this group in Chicago on Saturday
night. You're not going to hear it because of the pressure that's coming from the radical left in the Democratic Party, which is sizable.
Yes.
I think it's a majority of that party. And it even influences Jews in the Democratic Party, like Chuck Schumer.
Yes. Yes.
To talk about the fact that Israel should backpedal. All right, folks. We are going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk about more about this and some of the other things that are happening here and around the world. You're listening to Today's Issues. Please rejoin us. According to a recent study of hundreds of post-abortive women, 60% of women reported that they would have preferred to give birth if they had received more support from others or had more financial security. And that's where Preborn steps in. Preborn is there for women in their darkest hour, deciding between the life and death of their precious child. You see, the reality is women are being pressured to make this fatal decision and are being told that their babies are just a clump of cells. Preborn welcomes women with God's love and introduces them to the beautiful life growing inside of them, which doubles their baby's chance at life. When you support Preborn, you not only support women, you empower them. Your donation of $28 will help a woman to make a choice that she won't have to regret for the rest of her life and gives her the ultimate blessing, life. Your love can save a life. Just dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
And welcome back to the show. Ed Vitagliano sitting in for Tim Wildman today, joined in studio, by Fred Jackson and Chris Woodward. Chris, let's go ahead and wrap up with this story here on the over weekend attack by Iran on Israel. A couple other things that we want to tie up here.
Yeah, as a, at the beginning of the show, in the first half hour, we talked about how John Kirby, again, the guy that goes out and talks about national security, foreign policy things on behalf of the Biden administration, he went on all the talk shows over the weekend to lay out the Biden administration's response to what went down in Israel. And as is often the case, they find a way to blame Donald Trump for such things. And don't take my word for it. This is John Kirby talking on Fox News Sunday with Shannon Bream, saying Trump is to blame for the Iran attack on Israel. Clip 5.
And just look at the sanctions that we put in place against Iran. Look at the resources we put in this into the region. It's hard to take a look at what President Biden has done and say that we've somehow gone soft on Iran. It was the previous administration that decided to get us out of the Iran deal. And now Iran is so much dramatically closer to a potential nuclear weapon capability than they were before Mr. Trump was elected.
That doesn't just border on laughable.
Yeah,
that's built a house and a in-ground pool, on Ridiculous Street. That's, by the way, that's National Security Council spokesperson John Kirby. So, Fred, listen, the Biden administration has gone so far as to blame the mess on the border on President Trump, and now the administration that has unfrozen billions of dollars in assets, and of course told Iran, don't spend it on weapons. Okay, all right. So they have unfrozen billions of dollars for Iran to use any way they want, and I think we just saw how they wanted to use that money. How in the world do they blame President Trump? It beggars belief, frankly, that the man who was in the office for 4 years, Russia didn't invade anybody. Iran didn't attack anybody. The Houthis or whoever in Yemen, they didn't attack anybody. All right. And on the flip side, the Trump administration working out peace negotiations in the Middle East. This administration has the nerve to say, no, this is all Trump's fault.
Yeah, that clip you just heard was a great demonstration, I'll be kind here, of a distortion of the facts. Mm-hmm. It bothers me to no end. John Kirby is a retired rear admiral in the United States Navy. And when I see him out there defending this administration and distorting the facts, again, to be kind, and that was a total distortion of the facts. Barack Obama, when he was president and Biden was his vice president, delivered pallets of U.S. cash to Iran.
Secretly.
Secretly. And I mean and we're not exaggerating. There were pallets,
right,
hundreds of millions of dollars delivered to Iran under the guise that if we give them this money, we loosen up the sanctions, that Iran will play, they'll play fairly. And they won't develop their nuclear weapons. We just need to be nice to them. Donald Trump comes along. He becomes president. He knows what Iran is.
Right.
They're out there shouting death to the United States, death to Israel. We're going to cut ties with them. We're not going to give them anything else. We're going to put sanctions back on them because they're bad players.
Right.
Joe Biden becomes president, and guess what? Oh, we're going to loosen up some of these sanctions. We're going to give them some money, and and we're going to threaten them. We're going to give you your money back, the money that's been frozen in bank accounts. But you better be careful. You better not develop those nuclear weapons. And everybody knows they're doing that. Iran realizes we probably have the weakest president in recent history in this country, and they can do anything that they want.
Well, and not only the weakest in recent memory, probably your last shot at a really weak president.
Yes.
And so if President Trump wins in November, he would clearly be tougher than Biden.
Mm-hmm.
But almost anybody going forward is going to be tougher than Biden. So if you want to take a shot at Israel, now's the time to do it.
Yes.
And I think that's what the Iranian leadership is thinking.
Yes, absolutely.
Now, one other thing to work in here, and again, we have this on our website. I'll share the link on our Facebook page. There's a story on AFN.net, and our headline is this: World Leaders Urge Israel Not to Retaliate for the Iranian Drone Attack and Missile Attack. John Kirby went on NBC over the weekend to say, once again, Israel ought to take the wind and not respond. It's one thing for somebody to hear our American thoughts on this subject. It's another to hear in Israeli's thoughts on the matter. And so I've got a clip here from an IDF reservist, Rudy Rockman. He was on Fox and Friends today to talk about a number of things involving this situation over the weekend in Israel. So here now is Rudy Rockman on Israel's response to Iran's attacks and what he thinks about the Biden administration saying Israel ought to take the wind and not respond. Clip 9.
I don't think when we're getting shot at that's a win. That's kind of ridiculous. And, you know, irregardless of which president is in power, whether it's someone that's on the right or that's on the left, I think Israel needs to be independent, not dependent on the United States. I think it's great that we have relations with the United States and other countries, but we need to make sure that the relationship is not toxic, allowing a president in whatever position that they fall to dictate policies onto Israel. I think in the time of Yitzhak Shamir, where Israel knew that Iraq had weapons of mass destruction and was planning to attack Israel, and the U.S. told Israel not to attack, and we still did so, it was done so in order to prevent us from being in grave danger. And today, again, we need to be able to take out our problems before they take us out. We learned that on October 7th, and I think we learned that throughout the Jewish history.
For more on that interview and more of his comments, because that was a pretty lengthy interview, do visit our Today's Issues Facebook page. I've shared the link to the entire discussion.
Listen, I'm just going to say that Israel should attack Iran. Now, I'm not a foreign policy expert, but here's the thing, Fred. These kinds of folks, and by these kinds, I'm talking about actual fascists, mm-hmm. not Republicans, and that's what Democrats always think. Actual fascists / Nazis, actual communists, actual Muslim radicals, okay, they only understand one thing, and that is a punch in the nose, okay? A direct threat to their ability to wage revolution.
Mm-hmm.
And Iran is only going to understand its own grave danger if Israel responds.
Yes.
If Israel does not respond, just like if Israel had not responded to the October 7th attack, it would, as this IDF individual, this is IDF soldier, by the way?
IDF reservist.
Reservist. Mm-hmm. Just as this individual says, we're talking about the existence of the Jewish state
yes.
in Israel.
Mm-hmm.
For their very survival.
Yes.
And I think they have to show the world, they have to show Iran, and they have to show the bad actors around them. They have to show Hezbollah, whatever remains of Hamas, whatever groups are still seeking the destruction of Israel in Syria. They've got to see that if you take a swing at Israel, you better succeed or you're going to pay.
You know, we go back to 1948 when Israel reformed as a nation. All the Israeli and the Jewish people wanted was a place to live. They don't want to start fights with the neighbors.
Right.
But they live in a neighborhood that wants them wiped off the face of the earth. And we need to be clear, and we've always been clear on this network about that. You listen to other networks, and they're not very clear on that right. at all. It's like Israel has taken somebody's land. That is not the case. You know, and Israel has tried. It has tried to live in peace with its neighbors.
Right.
But there have been at least two occasions since 1948. But bring it up to current today. When we've said this before, on October 6th, there was peace.
Right.
You know, between Israel and their Gaza neighbors. And then October 7th happened.
Right.
And the reason October 7th happened, if you go back, there was a time when the Jewish people lived along the coast where right. Gaza is. And what happened? George W. Bush came along and kind of pressured Israel, say, if you'll just give them that stretch of land, you'll have peace with them. Well, that was 2005. Within 2 years, Hamas gained control of that area.
Right.
And what is their raison d'etre? The raison d'etre is we're going to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. Hezbollah in Lebanon, the same thing. The Syrians, the same thing. And we've talked about Iran.
And by the way, that little sliver of land that's Gaza is, my understanding is, got some beautiful areas.
Oh, yes.
If Hamas cared about the quote-unquote Palestinian people, mm-hmm. the people of Gaza, okay, they would have used all the money, tens of millions of dollars that poured in there. Mm-hmm. They would have built infrastructure. They would have built hotels. My understanding is that could have been a tourist
Mecca.
Mecca. Mm-hmm. But Hamas didn't do that.
No, that's right.
They were shown tearing up water lines in Gaza. Anything they could do to take money, build those, that complex of tunnels.
Yes.
Tens of millions of dollars that could have been used to make that a prosperous region and a prosperous home for the Palestinians living right. in Gaza, and they wanted nothing to do.
And that is why people, including former Secretary of State and two-time presidential candidate Hillary Clinton, said in November of 2023, and I quote, a full ceasefire that leaves Hamas in power would be a mistake.
Yes.
It's the right. one time we might agree on this show with Hillary Clinton.
Yeah. We have to understand that the neighborhood, as Prime Minister Netanyahu has often said, he lives in a rough neighborhood. He lives in a neighborhood that if you get punched, you have to punch back.
Right.
Because if you don't, it's perceived as being weak, and you'll get punched even harder the right. next time. And that is why I believe Israel has no choice. They must respond.
All right, let's move on to talk about someone getting punched. Let's move on to a certain trial.
Yes, this could very well have been the lead story in America and probably even on the BBC today had the events in Israel not happened over the weekend. Jury selection begins today in New York City for Trump's so-called hush money trial. This is the case that began under Alvin Bragg, DA there, who does not like Donald Trump, that involves the so-called hush money payments from Donald Trump to a adult film star by the name of Stormy Daniels. I've got some audio here of Donald Trump, and this is from a video that we do have on our website, AFN.net. But here's a little bit of what Trump had to say today earlier this morning. Clip 17.
This is an assault on America. Nothing like this has ever happened before. There's never been anything like it. Every legal scholar said this case is nonsense. It should never have been brought. It doesn't deserve anything like this. There is no case, and they've said it. People that don't necessarily follow or like Donald Trump said this is an outrage that this case was brought. This is political persecution. This is a persecution like never before. Nobody's ever seen anything like it. And again, it's a case that should have never been brought. It's an assault on America. And that's why I'm very proud to be here. This is an assault on our country. And it's a country that's failing. It's a country that's run by an incompetent man who's very much involved in this case. This is really an attack on a political opponent. That's all it is. So I'm very honored to be here. Thank you very much.
All right. So Chris, let me just try to tease out a little bit more information on this.
Okay.
This is a prosecution by the District Attorney of New York City, President Trump, for hush money. Is there any question about whether or not the hush money was ever actually spent? There's not, right?
I'm not to my knowledge.
So President Trump apparently, tell me if I'm wrong, if I'm understanding this right, apparently through Michael Cohen, mm-hmm. his attorney, who has since spent time in prison, okay, that hush money was spent to keep Stormy Daniels quiet, mm-hmm. Also Karen McDougal, another woman with whom she claims that she had a months-long affair with President Trump. Mm-hmm. The money was given, this hush money was given from, went from Cohen to these two individuals. And then the allegation is that Trump campaign money, Fred, you jump in here too, was then used to reimburse Michael Cohen. Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, that's kind of the facts as they currently exist. Has President Trump denied that he reimbursed, Fred, do you know? Has he denied that he reimbursed, that campaign money was used to reimburse Michael Cohen, or?
One of the things that Trump has said is that Stormy Daniels is lying. He says he did not have an affair with her.
Okay.
All right.
And same thing with Karen McDougal.
He was running for president. We got to go back to 2016 right. on this. He was running for president, and, you know, the Lord knows what went on.
Right.
All right. But Donald Trump says he didn't have an affair with him. But it is not uncommon for somebody with a profile like Donald Trump, he announces he's running for president. Maybe it's a possibility there is somebody out there who says, I think I can make some money if I right. tell this story. So it is not uncommon that somebody would be paid to say, don't tell the story. It's not true, but we don't want the story coming up.
And then they sign a non-disclosure agreement.
Yes.
And they promise not to tell.
That is not illegal.
Right.
That is not illegal. In fact, at one point, the prosecutor, Alvin Bragg, said there was no case here. He said it went to the feds, and the feds said there was no case here.
In other words, let me just tease out this a little bit here. The feds said there is no violation that they could find of campaign financing law. In other words, using campaign monies for hush money.
Yes.
Okay.
All right. So that's the way it was. But then the pressure began. Joe Biden becomes president, and you have a justice system that says, we think we can make a case out of this.
Mm-hmm. Even though the feds have denied, saying there's no crime here.
Yes. There is no victim.
Right.
There is no victim. She got her money, you know, for false reasons or good reasons. You know, again, the Lord knows. She got her money. So there's no victim here. All right. So we have to be clear about that. But there's 34 felony counts now
right.
that the Biden Justice Department has come up with.
But now my understanding is, again, now we're going to listen to somebody here in just a minute, Chris. My understanding is that there is no felony in New York City.
No.
Because even if the books had been adjusted to account for hush money, it's a misdemeanor.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yes.
What Alvin Bragg has done has said that because the misdemeanors were committed to cover up a felony, now we can upgrade these to felonies. Well, what's the felony that they're supposedly covering up? The federal election charges,
yes.
federal charges that the federal government under the Justice Department said aren't actually crimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, this is a little confusing.
It is.
I'll admit.
Yes. And full disclosure, I've said it before, probably won't be the last time. I have a Bachelor of Arts in Communication from an A&M school. I didn't go to law school, okay? So somebody to explain to us from a legal perspective the fact that charges have been all over the place here is Fox News legal editor Carrie Kupek-Urban. She was on Fox and Friends earlier today to explain the charges being all over the place, and I hope this does a better job of answering the questions than I've done thus far today. Clip 14.
The statute of limitations has ran out on that. So in order to revive that case, he has somehow manufactured these very low-level misdemeanor charges into felonies by saying, well, he falsified those records into conceal an underlying crime. The problem is No one really understands what the underlying crime is because it's not in the indictment. And Bragg only talked about it afterwards in a press conference and said vaguely that he had violated state and federal election laws.
So it's 34 felony counts for falsifying business records. Now, can you imagine? And he could go to prison for several years for this if he's found guilty in this. But, you know, and you got a corrupt judge. A judge that this morning there was a petition put in to recuse himself because his sister, I think, is a Democrat operative. And he, of course, refused to recuse himself this morning in this. So this, what's absolutely amazing to me is I don't know how many Americans could put up with what Donald Trump is putting up with in so many jurisdictions, New York, Atlanta, in Washington, D.C., and in Florida. I mean, and he comes out swinging. And he's going to spend the next 4 weeks, it's going to take about, it's 2 weeks to select a jury, and at least 4 weeks to 2 months or so for this trial. He'll get Wednesday off, and he'll get the evenings off to campaign, and you know he will.
Yeah, he will.
It's absolutely
amazing.
And he's going
to be under a gag order to talk about the trial while it's
But Alvin Bragg isn't under a gag order.
Right. That's true. I don't even know how you can find 12 people that don't have an opinion of Donald Trump. Everyone on this planet that has a connection to some sort of broadcast or newspaper has an opinion, good or bad, of Donald Trump.
Right.
How do you find 12 people in New York City with all that's going on here? It's the media capital of the world. You can't walk down Times Square without getting something, information in your face. How do you find 12 people that have an impartial opinion of a person?
Well, and I'm just going to say, I don't think the president can get a fair trial in New York City. So if that's the case, what appears to me, a non-lawyer admittedly, what appears to me to be, forgive the pun, I'm not trying to be punny here, the trumped up charges against the former president, this seems laughable if it wasn't so serious. It appears that he's going to probably wind up being convicted, just like with the other previous civil trial.
Yeah.
Okay? And he's going to be faced with having to appeal the nonsense that he's going through right now while he is conducting a campaign, which, as many, many people have said, is probably part of the point.
Yes.
That's part of the reason why I think that this VP selection, he's the presumptive nominee.
Right.
Okay, he's not the official nominee. He's the presumptive nominee. His VP selection and the one from Biden, quite frankly, this might be the most important VP selection in the history of VP selections.
Right.
Because Biden is 80-plus years old. Donald Trump's facing all sorts of allegations that may or may not keep him from actually becoming president should he be elected in November. But these people running under them are going to have their hands full.
It almost, to the left, it almost doesn't matter. They are so eaten up with hatred for this man. I got to tell you, I've never seen anything like it.
Nope.
I've been following politics since I was in junior high school. I have never seen anything like this. I have never read about anything like this in history. The hatred that exists on the left, to Chris's point, I don't think they even care about the vice president selection of Donald Trump. They would eventually, but they just want this man destroyed.
Yes.
And they don't care how many laws they break to do it or how bad it looks to make such such politically tainted moves. They don't care how bad it looks.
Nope.
They just got to get this guy.
Do you know what? But I think the left is growing more frustrated by the moment. I've noticed some very aggressive interviews lately. George Stephanopoulos at ABC, they are getting frustrated that the campaign against Donald Trump is not working for the left.
Right. And maybe undermining.
Oh, it seems to be on a day-by-day basis. This persecution, and I'll call it this judicial persecution by the Biden administration, by the mainstream media, is backfiring on them.
Right.
He just grows more popular by the day. And if he is convicted in New York, now he'll appeal it and all of that sort of thing. But even if he is convicted, I'm going to predict his points are going to go up even more.
Yeah.
The American people are far smarter than what the Biden administration, the mainstream media, think they are. The American people are on to them. The American people are on to the Biden administration. What's going on here? Because if they get away with this with Donald Trump, people are starting to think they could do this to me.
Which is part of the fallout from the civil case with this monument, this monstrously large fine.
Yes.
Okay. Remember all the people talking about the damage this is doing to New York City as a potential location for businesses and industries and corporations.
Yes.
There's fallout to these things that go beyond just the case.
The heads are spinning in some of the media pundits, you know. You better not elect Donald Trump because he'll put us all in prison.
Right. Yeah.
No. He'll correct the system, hopefully bring it back to where it needs to be.
If that was true, why did we not all go to prison somewhere between January of 2017 and the time he left office?
He didn't even go after Hillary Clinton.
No.
Yeah.
And that upset a lot of
people. He got hammered for that.
Yeah, he did get hammered for that.
Yeah.
Listen. I don't know how he survives in terms of this trial without a guilty verdict because everything is being twisted to get him. Mm-hmm. But I think you're right, Fred. I think as he appeals this in the lead up to the November election, I think this only bolsters his numbers, and he won't be gagged after this trial is over.
Mm-hmm.
And he'll be laying things out. I have no idea whether he had affairs with these women. That would be problematic for me in terms of the man's character.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, trying to twist the law to make misdemeanors into felonies, this is bad business, and it is corrosive to our republic.
Yes.
All right, folks, we're going to take a five-minute break for news. When we come back, Steve Jordahl will be joining us, and we'll be discussing more of the news that is happening right now. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. 5 minutes, we'll be back.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.